Hey, I can hear myself now. Can you guys hear me too? All right. Success. Well, good morning, Freedom Community Church. Good morning, good morning. Glad to have you here this morning with us, whether you're in person or you're watching us online. We're just glad that you're here, glad that you're ready to worship the Lord and to hear from Him today. And so let's start with praise as we normally do. But before we even do that, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for your church, and we want to thank you that you are the head of your church, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and that today, Lord, that you would be glorified by our worship to you, Lord, that everything that we do, whether it's actually worshiping and praising through song, or whether it's serving in the children's ministry, or serving coffee, or just greeting each other, whatever that we do, Lord, we pray that it would be a worship to you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we look forward to what you're going to do today in your church. Pray that you would bless your church and your people, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to stand, feel free to do so, but let's start by worshiping our Lord.
And when
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are great, and we want to worship you. We want to praise you, Lord. And so as we lift our voices to you, we pray that we would just lift our hearts to you as well, Lord. We love you. We thank you, and we look forward to what you're going to do today in your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Hey, thanks for coming in. Did you have to scrape your windshield? Yeah, no, those of you people who have garages, I know you right now. Okay. Well, hey, a few quick things. Again, I really hope you're getting engaged in some of the other studies. Those are the places you're really going to connect and meet with people and be able to share some of what you're learning in the Word, too. So men's study, again, still Saturday morning. Women, you've got a couple options on Wednesday and then Thursday mornings, and you can do that online or in person. And again, I would always tell you, if you can do it in person, do it in person. That's the way to go. Personal interaction really does matter. And then we have a Sunday evening home group, and then we have the sermon notes, all the same things you hear from me every Sunday. So just make sure if you're not getting the sermon notes, and you didn't get any today, by the way, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, but if you'll sign up, we'll gift you those sermon notes each Sunday morning. You can print them out, bring them with you. There are a lot of cross-references that will give you plenty to do throughout the week if you need another place to go to get into the Word, open it up and see what it says for yourself. Hopefully you'll be doing that. And then again, if you need to figure out what's going on in terms of events and all, go to the website freedomcommunity.church, not .com, not .org, none of those things, freedomcommunity.church. You can get all the past sermons, you can go through the calendar, you can see what's coming up, and you'll get information there. So hopefully you've logged on at least at one time and taken a look at the website so you know where to go. Few things that we still need help with, meals ministry. So we're trying to refresh that a little bit again, and if you would like to be somebody who's called upon when meals are needed, you just need to sign up out front. There's a little card out there that'll give you some basic information, and then when somebody needs a meal, we'll call you up and get you there. So you've got to sign up in advance so we can put you on our list. We have the couples dinner, again, for Valentine's Day, February 12th. Today is the last day to sign up. We are providing the meal. It is Hawaiian themed, so you'll feel warm and ingratiated on the outside, even though you might be freezing on the inside. Don't worry about it. We're going to feed you. Wear your nice floral print. You know, look good. It'll be a great time. I hope you'll come. It's $20 a couple. If that's a problem for you right now at this time, it's not a problem. We'll just cover that. It's not a big deal. We just want you to come. So hopefully you'll come join it. You can even bring somebody else as long as we know they're coming and you sign them up today. Maybe somebody doesn't go to church. Maybe somebody who doesn't know Jesus. This will be the opportunity for him to meet Jesus. So please do so, but again, tell us today. February 23rd, we start a four-week study on how to create a Bible study for yourself, or if you want to do a home group, or you want to bring some other people together in your workplace, whatever. If you feel like that is a desire of yours, but you're not quite sure how you'd put that study together, for at least 4 weeks, and then we'll see, because you know I'm a guy with few words. So I could probably fit it into 4 weeks, but if it ends up going into 6 weeks, that might be a possibility too. If you can't make all of them, don't worry. Even if you can make some of them, you'll get a few tools that will help you maybe and prepare a little bit more consistent Bible study to get people involved in it too. And then for Cheryl, I told you last time I put the wrong date down for her memorial because the family had decided to do something together at that time too. So we will have a memorial service here on the 20th of March, thank you, right after service. So we'll do a little retooling here. We'll set things up. We'll feed you again after church, just like we always do when we're doing a memorial service. And then we'll just come right back in and share. So if you can put a little bit of extra time on your schedule that day, that would be great. We'd really appreciate it. So I want to give you a little bit of an update real quickly about what's been happening without giving away too many details. So in the last week, we have had a lot of opportunities as a church to minister to law enforcement families. For those of you who are new, this is something we do. We train chaplains. We train trauma people. We have a bunch of people in our church who train through Washington State Emergency Management to provide meals. So if that's something you're interested in, we would love to get you information, tell you the kind of training we need to get you through, and get you registered to do it. But for those who have done that work, just know that we have had an opportunity to produce, I believe, which is going to be close to 1,000 meals this last week for law enforcement, dropping it off at their precincts, ministering to them, getting to talk to them, and next week won't be any different. You can't do it if you don't have all the stuff from Washington State Emergency Management, so if you have a real heart to do it, sign up for the meal chain for other people. But if you want to do this, you've got to get the training. But do be praying for all those who are coordinating and putting all those meals together and delivering them and talking with people, because it can be a little emotional at times, but it's also very wonderful just to get to encounter with them. We had an opportunity to assist with a candlelight vigil, which was a kind of a private memorial with law enforcement officers, about 250 of them this week, which was great. So we've been ministering in that way. And we will be doing some work on Tuesday when there is a line of duty death procession that will be starting at Crossroads Community Church and taking off and heading to LNA Casino. If you look in the news, you'll find when that procession will start, which is 10:30. They'll show you the route, and you can join along the route. You can't park on the freeway. They won't let you do that. There'll be a lot of people out there just showing their support for the family and all. It's kind of wonderful. It is a open service at LNA Casino. If that's something you wanted to participate in, you can find that on the news. I could give you more. But as a church, here's what I want to say to you. Thank you. It's what you do that makes all those things possible. It's what you do to minister to people that are having some pretty rough days that is pretty powerful and wonderful. And because of the time and effort that you spend, and you as a church, the money that you give to make it possible to feed that many people, to care for them, to love them, they know that there are people who claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior who are loving them right in their worst moment. You want to talk about serving and sharing the gospel in what we call ministry of presence? You're doing it. Even if your hands haven't gone, you've sent and equipped this church to do it, and I just want to thank you. It's been powerful. You're wonderful. I love being a part of this church family. Thanks for being who you are. So now let's pray. Let's do a little bit of time praying, shall we? Oh, Lord, you're so amazing. Father, the way that you love us and the way that you minister to us is beyond imagination. We know we live in a fallen world. We know in this world that we will have trials and troubles and tribulations. But, Lord, honestly, I think the more we walk with you, the more we can say, like Paul, these things are meaningless. These trials and these tribulations, they just don't weigh anything compared to your glory, to what you have promised us, what you have done for us, how you minister to us, how you meet us, how you carry us. It's crazy, Lord, the way that you have provided for your people. But Lord, we know we have some tasks while we're here too, and we're not doing these tasks to earn our salvation. That free gift, we understand, has been totally given to us apart from anything we have done or could do. But Lord, we would just want to respond. We want to be reciprocal in our response by loving you and loving people, just as your word has told us is the thing that we need to be engaged in. And Lord, we also know that even as we come back to 2 Thessalonians 2, we've been called the restraining force, your Holy Spirit inside the church, restraining evil. And so we want to pray right now, Lord, for our nation and for the leaders of our nation. And we understand, Lord, that there's a lot of things going on as you're setting up the final curtain here for the return, for the time you'll call the church home first, and then when you'll come again to establish your kingdom. And we know things are going to get weird. Lord, we put all that in your hands. But we've also been told to occupy until you come. And so we do want to occupy. And we want to start right now by occupying in prayer. And we want to pray for our nation to honor you. We want to pray for our nation to be a place where our children will hear about you and they will see you at work in the adults. And we want to pray against those forces of darkness that we would be able, through our prayers, to ask you to restrain them until you come again. And Lord, we know in our land, as we look at our public officials, we have some who have no clue who you are. Their mouths might even profess that they know, but their actions betray that, and they show very clearly that they don't know you. And Lord, honestly, I think all of us have been really frustrated at points, but our job isn't to be frustrated. Our job is to occupy, to restrain, and to pray. And so we want to pray now for the leaders of our nation, for those who don't know you. We want to pray that you would shake them up and wake them up, that you would bring them into repentance and salvation. We want to pray for those who are perpetrating things that are evil, that you would frustrate their plans, that you would cause their own manipulation and conniving, obviously encouraged by the enemy, to backfire. to frustrate themselves, to turn against each other, as we've seen you orchestrate again and again. But Lord, what we really want for all of them is to come into a relationship with you. Because we picture when the enemies of you turn to be those who are your servants, what a message it is. And we know that you love them, even though you might be pretty upset with some of them. And Father, we want to pray for those leaders of our nation who do know you, that they wouldn't do things by their own strength and by their own imagination, knowing you, that they would depend upon your Holy Spirit for guidance and wisdom, and that they would depend upon you for the power to perform the things that need to be done, and that they would find favor with all those whom they work with and speak to. So, Lord, we want to start by just praying silently together now for a moment for the leaders of our nation. And Lord, we want to take a moment now and pray for our law enforcement communities across our nation. We realize there's a great amount of pressure on many of them and some complications as families are working and imagining and trying to figure out where they go from here as they serve their communities and they try to uphold righteousness in the land. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit as we pray now for our law enforcement. And Lord, we pray now for the peace of Jerusalem. We realize there's three kinds of peace there. Peace of another day without conflict. The greater peace, which is to have a personal relationship with you, to recognize you as their Messiah. That's the one we really want to see happen today, Lord. And then we know that the final peace is the establishment of your kingdom, your forever kingdom, from that place that you have appointed for yourself and for those people. And we just ask, God, that you would lead us now as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Father, we want to pray now for the persecuted church. And we realize, Lord, that there's all levels of persecution from the loss of life to the separation of families to losses of jobs to the silencing of the voices of those who are your people and yet will not be silenced because they know their God. And they know the need of even those who injure them and hurt them and do them wrong to come into a relationship with you. And so we want to pray now for the persecuted church. And we ask again, as so many needs exist there, that you would lead each one of us collectively and individually in how to pray but through your Holy Spirit as we pray now for the persecuted church. And finally, Lord, we want to pray for whoever you would lay on our hearts. We know that you tell us that when we don't know what to pray, your Spirit would lead us in what to pray. But we even ask today in who we should pray for. Maybe it's somebody we haven't thought about at all, and you just want to lay them on our heart right now. Or maybe it's somebody who's been heavy on our heart, and we're just asking for direction, Lord. Not as a man would think, but as the Spirit would move us. And we pray now. Lord, we thank you for our time together. We know just even in these times when we come and pray, there's a soothing in our spirit, a calming in our soul, because we've just been with the God of heaven. And you do something. You take our burden, and we know that when we give them to you, it's not that you'll just hear them and do nothing with them. You're moving in power in ways that we might never see or understand this side of glory. But knowing that you will always do the right thing means that as we make these requests, we can hand them to you. We can let go of them. We can just set our hearts in a place now where we just come to worship you and to hear from you because of all the burdens that we've just unloaded, knowing that you can do far more than we ever could. We thank you, God, for being beyond description, beyond imagination, beyond what we could have even known to ask for, and the one and only God. And so we lift these things up to you in the mighty name of Jesus, our advocate, our Savior, and we thank you in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Before we get up and say hello to everybody today, I just want to let you know one more great thing today. If you have been with us for a while, Scott Biondi was a pastor here at the church with us, and he has since moved to Eugene. But I called him and asked him if he would want to come up, and he was delighted to do so. I was delighted that he's coming to do it. So today, Pastor Scott, who's sitting up here in the front row, if you don't know him, you can introduce yourself to him today, too. He will be bringing the message, and I'm really excited about that. Now, go ahead and stand up and say hello to somebody and ask them if they want to invite you over for lunch, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Well, we want to continue in worship. We'll give you a little bonus time here. I know everybody likes to give hugs and handshakes. And probably haven't seen some of these folks in about 7 days. Maybe a week. Well, let's return to our time of worship. We're gonna kick this off, so feel free to find your seats. You don't have to sit in them. You can stand, raise your hands, whatever you want to do.
Shaken, I will build my
till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing all the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, darkest night. Stand together as we close out our time of worship. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You alone are victorious. And Lord, we're so grateful that we get to be more than conquerors, that we get to share in that victory with you, Lord, and have eternal life. Victory over sin, victory over death and the grave. Lord, we're so grateful for that salvation that you alone can give to us, Lord. And so we praise you, we worship you, we lift up your name. And now, Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. Pray that you would change our hearts. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and pray for your blessing on the rest of our time today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So good to be here with you all. Familiar faces and new faces. It's awesome. Vancouver. Fresh Prairie. Brush, it's not even Battleground? Okay. from the land of fruits and nuts, Eugene, Oregon, I bear you greeting and very glad to be with you. Let's pray as we get into the Word. Lord, your Word is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able, Lord, to get to the very heart of the matter, if, Lord, we would yet allow. And that's all we need to do is allow you to, by your Spirit, hover over the water of the Word and cause it, Lord, to apply to our lives. And so we pray for that this morning and pray your blessing on our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's been an interesting couple of years, eh? And you being here, which is a new facility, obviously, since I was here, is evidence of the kind of scrambling that pastors have had to do during this whole pandemic thing. And I just really appreciate the work, the extra work that pastors and others in the church have done to keep the church fed and together and moving forward. And so this is just testimony of that work. And I just appreciate that. I appreciate Rob and what you've done. Anytime I get invited to speak in these last few years, I've made sure that the congregation knows that there's a lot that goes into making church happen when you're trying to mess with stuff or the world is trying to mess with stuff. And any church that was in a public school got booted. And so you are one of them. But you know what? This is awesome. This is way better. This is way better. Isn't that the Lord, though? From glory to greater glory. So anyway, I'm thrilled of that. Thrilled about that. I'm hoping, you know, it's been a year of adjustments. It kind of seems like we might be seeing light at the end of the tunnel, or it could be the headlight of another variant. I'm not sure which it is, but something's going to happen. That's a guarantee. Now, you can write that down in your notes and take that to the bank. Something is going to happen. And thank you, Jesus, that he's going to see us through whatever that might be. And it hasn't been easy for everybody. It's been a challenge. One of the things that I think many believers, churches, corporately also, have asked is, you know, in light of the situation that we find ourselves in, am I supposed to do something different? Is there something in light of the days, are we supposed to do something different than we used to do? Are we supposed to change what we do or what we, you know, how we navigate life as a believer in this, I don't know, people like to use the phrase new normal. I don't know if this is the new normal. I don't know if any of it's normal. When we get to heaven, that will be normal. In the meantime, it's all messed up. But how do we navigate that? And are we supposed to be doing things differently? Is the church changing? Do you realize that the pandemic was not a surprise to God? Everybody got that one? It was not a surprise to God. It's not like Jesus had to go to the Father and say, I am so sorry. I wasn't planning on this one. I need to send a few more chapters down to get the body of Christ through this one. Now, you know, that's not how that worked. You know, this isn't the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. It's not the worst thing that the church has gone through for sure. And sometimes it helps to keep that in perspective. So should we be doing something different? Let me give you the short answer. No, we shouldn't be doing anything different. Not one thing. As it relates to being a lover of Jesus Christ, we should not be doing one single thing differently. If you would allow me this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes. I know that this is going to be, for you seasoned saints, it's going to be a reminder for us. But I pray that it will be a reminder that refreshes, and that the Holy Spirit will be able to use these simple truths to satisfy our heart, to settle us, to take us back to zero. It's a good thing, you know. In fact, I see the elements back there. You know, that's what communion's about. Take you back to zero. Have you ever thought about this? The gospel that we read in the scriptures, what we know to be the gospel, was written by Paul and other authors. Do you know who he wrote them to? The church. Those messages on the gospel were written to the church. Why? Because the church needs to be reminded of the gospel. Get back to zero. It's a good thing for all of us, for any of us. So let's begin with this. If you're a Christian here this morning, and if not, why not? But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you have been forgiven, saved by grace, and you have been born again, a new creation in Christ, born again. You're a whole new species, that species that never dies. You realize that? You've been born again. That's good news. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle that God, in his grace and mercy, through the power of the cross and the work of Jesus Christ, was able to take dead men, dead women, and make them alive, and give you and me this hope. I don't know how non-believers do it. I don't know how non-believers do it. What in the world are you anchoring your life on without Jesus? He is our rock. He is our rock. And it's a miracle what he has done to us and in us. And now we have that hope, regardless of circumstances that are around us or ailments that may come our way. We have the hope of eternity with him. Now, since we've been born again, turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would. We are going to hit a number of verses in different passages. We won't be at any of them very long. But turn to Romans chapter 8. So we have been born again by the power of Jesus Christ, and we have been given his Spirit that dwells within us. Amen? Everybody good so far? Christianity 101. Listen to this. Now, you guys know verse 28 very well, I'm sure. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. We got that one down? Everybody knows that. We love to quote that one. And we should. And that's good. But do you know what the good is? And what his purpose is? It says, God works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. What's the good and what's his purpose? Hey, you don't have to look far. Look at the next verse. Because it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what God is after. Did you know that? Do you remember that? He saved us, gave us his spirit. Why? That we would become like Jesus. That we would become like Jesus. That's what he's after. That's his purpose for you and for me. This whole thing called life is really the quarry where all the chipping and scraping and sanding is done. All those trials you go through, all the sickness that you've had, all the difficult times and circumstances that you didn't like, all of that stuff, God uses it all. It says right there in verse 28, he works all those things together for good according to his purpose. What's his purpose? To make you more like Jesus. That's what it's all about. You know, we don't even say the name Jesus enough. I love that last song. Had it in there several times. Go, yes, there it is. You know, there is no Christianity without Christ. Everything that we believe is Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all in him. Everything. In the person of Jesus Christ. And God's purpose in us is to make us like his son. Everybody with me so far? Romans 8, 28 and 29. Has the gospel changed? Anybody? You know what? It hasn't. It hasn't changed one whit. Thank God for that. Did the pandemic change the gospel? No. Did it change God's purpose? No. Has it changed any of that? No. It hasn't changed anything. It hasn't changed anything. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit, you've probably heard, I'm not, by the way, I've never said anything that was original. and I'm not going to say anything original this morning either. That's probably not bad. Did you know that Christianity is designed to work from the inside out? Did you know that? So the Holy Spirit comes with, we're born again. The Holy Spirit comes in us, that we'd be transformed into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's designed to work from the inside out. That is the transforming power, the transformational power, the power, if you would, of the resurrection. The power of God Almighty dwells within us. And to the degree that we allow it, which is something you can take home and think about and pray about, but to the degree that we allow it, he will change us. He will change us. Our behavior, our attitudes, our thinking, our words, our heart, our mind, everything. Change us from who we are as we're being moved toward the person of Jesus Christ. From the inside out. Amen? And you have to realize that. You have to remember that. In fact, we all know that intrinsically, because what would the opposite be? If you're trying to bring righteousness about from the outside in. In other words, if I change my behavior, it'll change my heart. It'll make me more righteous. What do you call that? The law. Amen? That's what the law was all about. It's backwards. And Jesus said, you can't do it that way. It's not even possible to do it that way. So I came to give my life in your place, and I fulfilled the law on your behalf. So now, because I'm dwelling within you, you can become like me, and that righteousness that I require has been imputed to you through the power of God. Amen? So Christianity is inside, it's inside out. Inside out. So our focus should be on the one who dwells within us. Amen? Not on the stuff on the outside. I think I might have shared this once before, and I probably am saying this too early in my message. Rob, you can let me know later. But I remember a brother in our church we had in Eugene. He was a smoker, which sends you directly to hell, you know, according to his wife. And this was an ongoing thing. It went on for 3 years, 4 years, forever. And he would come to me Sunday morning and say, "I quit. I am so grateful. That is so awesome." Next Sunday, he smelled like smoke. And this went on, I don't even know how many times. And finally, we had this picnic in the park, and I sat down on a blanket with him and his wife, and I said, "Brother, I want to tell you something." And his wife needed to be there. And I told him, "I want you to stop trying to stop smoking. Stop trying. What I want you to do instead is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world, including those cigarettes, if that's what he wants you to deal with, they'll go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And it was not immediate, but it was about, I'd say, 6 months later, I saw him, he goes, "It's gone." Yeah, isn't that a funny thing how that works? Just let Jesus deal with it. Let him, you focus on him, and he'll take care of the stuff that needs to be fixed. Amen? In his time, by his power, it's very liberating. But there is a caveat. I got to be looking to Jesus. I got to be looking to Jesus. Has inside out changed? No, it hasn't. I want to show you biblically, scripturally, and this is in many places in the Bible, where we see this idea of inside out. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. Can you turn there with me real quick? You guys know this passage well, I'm sure. It's kind of a classic. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 as you turn there. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called the other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts.'" Verse 6, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go with us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, Lord, send me.'" Here I am, send me. I just want you to see the pattern. I saw the Lord. Number one, I saw the Lord. Number two, I am a man of unclean lips. I see the Lord and recognize my lack, my need. First I see, and then I become more like him. First I see the Lord, and in response to that, that change begins to happen. And as that change begins to happen, it becomes a very natural thing to do the third thing, which is, here am I, send me. Do. See, be, do. There you go, church. That's the equation. That's the equation for Christianity. That's the equation for Jesus-loving believers. See, which then becomes be, more like him, and the natural response to a changed life is do. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. See Jesus. He brings about the change from the inside out. And it affects my actions, my heart to serve, you know, the things I need to get rid of, you know, all those kinds of things, the doing of it all. What am I supposed to do in these days? What am I supposed to do as a believer? How am I supposed to use my gifts? Where am I supposed to get involved in the things that Rob was sharing earlier? Sounds awesome to me. Is that what I'm supposed? What am I supposed to do in these days? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what am I supposed to do. First, go see. Go see Jesus. Go see him. And allow him to bring about whatever he wants to do in you. The doing is going to take care of itself. Too much focus on doing. Too little focus on looking. Which is what Hebrews 12 says. So let's turn there. Why not? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the author or founder and perfecter of our faith. Look to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, keeping our eyes on him. Really, I think the Christian walk comes down to simply that. What am I supposed, what's my number one thing I'm supposed to be doing? Look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. And it's said other ways. It's said other ways, but let me read to you from 1 Corinthians. I told you I'm going to be popping around quick. But just so you know, I'm not making this up, right? I just want you to know I'm not making this up. There's actually verses that say these things. So this time it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll start in verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thank you, Jesus. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. There it is. Beholding the face of Christ. What happens when you look at the face of Christ? You become like that which you behold. You become what you're looking at. That's what it says. We're being transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ. Look to him. Has that changed? No. Pandemic? That affect that? Not at all. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. There's another way we could say this. In Philippians chapter 3, let's turn there. Almost done with the page flipping. To look at Jesus, or one might say, to know him. To know him. As I gaze at him, as I look unto him, I'm getting to know the Lord. And that is a lifelong exercise. Every day of our life is an opportunity to learn more about Jesus Christ. But listen to what Paul said. This idea of knowing the Lord. In verse 8, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. It says everything in this world, anything in this world, is second fiddle to knowing Jesus Christ. To knowing him. I've suffered loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. And then verse 10, he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that I might know him, that I might know him. And I want to encourage you this morning as a follower of Jesus to devote yourself to getting to know Jesus better. To know Jesus better. Paul says, nothing is more important than that. Nothing is more valuable than that, than knowing Jesus Christ. How do I know that this is the one thing that I need to do, to know Jesus? I bet you could end this sentence. Christianity, it's not religion, it's not religion, it's relationship. Anybody heard that before? Guess what? It's true. And guess what? It's a relationship. It's a relationship between you and God. Between you and Jesus Christ, it's a relationship between two beings, you and Jesus. A relationship. So we need to know him and look at him and continue to that process. Sorry, Lord. And continue that process of drawing closer to him. Getting to know him. How important is knowing Jesus? Well, according to Matthew and a couple other places, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. You had a lip service relationship, or I don't even want to call it that. You had some kind of a lip service thing going on with me. Somewhere along the line, you threw a pine cone in a fire. But you never knew me. Never had a relationship. There was no relationship. How important is this relationship between us and Jesus? He said, I never knew you. To people, listen to this, church, to people who thought they were good, thought they were in. Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out? They thought they were okay. And guess what? They weren't. Isn't that a sobering thought for the church? that there could be people, that there are people sitting in church this morning who think they're good and they don't know him. And they don't know him. And he's so knowable. He's so knowable. How do we get to know Christ? How do we do that? Pretty straightforward. And you could come up with other things besides this. But we know that he is, according to the Apostle John, the Word that became flesh. And he has revealed himself most clearly through his Word. And I don't just mean the four Gospels. I mean the Old Testament and all of the New. This is his story. It's his Word. And if you want to know Jesus, know your Bible. But not just be able to quote verses. I mean, look at the verses and say, what is this telling me about Jesus? What does this story reveal to me about Jesus? You know the wedding in Cana, where he turned water into wine? You know that story? It always cracks me up because here they were already drunk, and what's he do? Makes 120 gallons of wine. What would Jesus do? He'd make more wine. You're kidding. Nope. But you know what else is true about that story? The centerpiece of that story is he changed water into wine. What was that water purposefully intended for? Do you remember? Purification, cleansing, right? Scrub the outside, right? What did he do? He changed it to wine so you could do what? Drink it on the inside. It was a picture of inside out. It's a picture of inside out. This is the new covenant. It's no more scrub-a-dub-dub. It's say yes to me. I'll come and change your life. Make you a new creation. Change you from dead to living. Woohoo! It's a picture of the new covenant. So we don't just want to read the stories and know the stories. We want to seek Jesus in the Word of God. Find his nature. See what he's saying. And as you go further and further, and it's a glorious journey, you find these little subtleties and nuances and these, oh man, I didn't know that about you. Number two, through prayer. Through prayer, right? You know, we're talking about a relationship. Think about your relationship with your spouse or a friend. How well does that work if you never talk? Not so great. If you never listen? Not so great at my house. I know that. My wife and I, and this actually is not something we've always done, but man, it is the joy of my day. I can't wait. Every evening when we get home from work, we sit at our dining room table or sometimes in our hot tub, which is preferable, and just talk about our day and what went on and what's happening and what, I mean, whatever. There's no agenda. I mean, do we just talk? Guess what? Talking's important for a relationship. It's important for a relationship. So, conversing with Jesus, talking to Jesus, listening to Jesus, all of that, we're finding that we are getting to know his nature. And guess what that does? Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, which means according to my nature or according to who I am, well, the better I get to know who he is, the more prayers get answered. Now you sound like a name and claim it person. Nope. The more I know who he is, then my prayers adjust to his nature and will. Amen? And guess what? Like my son, this never actually happened. This is theoretical. Like my son coming to me when he was 12 and saying, Dad, could I please, 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 please mow the lawn? Never happened. But the odds of me saying yes are very likely, because you know what? That's in my heart too. And he says, if you pray according to my nature, my will, my personhood, when you pray that prayer, it will be answered, and there's no disclaimers, no conditions. It's an absolute statement. Well, how am I going to get in aligned with his nature and his will? By getting to know him. You know another wonderful way to get to know Jesus? Is by getting to know his people. Because every one of you is a unique expression of the nature of Jesus as you have fleshed it out. So I get to see how Jesus looks in you and how that works for you and how you deal with Jesus in those circumstances. And that kind of collegiality, that gathering together, that fellowship of the saints is a glorious way to increase our knowledge of who Jesus is. And here's good news. According to Revelation chapter 3, he stands at the door and knocks. You know whose door that is, by any chance? It's the church's door. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are about it's the seven churches, right? It's a passage about the churches. He's standing at the door of the church. That's you and me. He's standing at the door knocking, saying, hey, I'd love to come in and have dinner with you. What? Yep. So as much as we desire to have fellowship with him, he desires to have fellowship with us. He's working this from the other end, folks. He's working it from the other end. Would we be smart enough, wise enough to meet him in that invitation to know him? Has any of that changed because of the pandemic? Nope, it hasn't. Same old stuff. It's just the same old stuff. Glorious, glorious Christian truth. Boy, that's a rarity these days, isn't it? Truth. Not all that rare if you got one of these. I bet you do. If we have a change in circumstances, if another God forbid mandate comes down the pike, if the culture collapses, guess what? Nothing changes. God is on his throne. You and me, we're still his people. And he still wants to fellowship with us. I want to encourage you to put Jesus in the top of your heart and top of your mind. Speak his name. Sing his name. And get to know him. Let's pray. Lord, you said that you came to tabernacle among us, to dwell among us. You did that because you wanted that fellowship. It was your desire. And that's a kind of mind-boggling reality. That the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings would want to have fellowship with us. But it's true. It is true, and because it's true, Lord, we need to be those, we ought to be those who take advantage of that offer and the desire of your heart, and may that desire of your heart be ours as well, that we would fellowship with you, that we would know you, Lord, that we would look to you, look for you, that we would see you, and allow that power of the Holy Spirit to bring transformation. The more things change, the more they stay the same, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray for your soon return. I pray for your blessing upon this church. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you for that great reminder. Let's stand together as we close out with worship, and let's continue our time of worship through song.